Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you to the Reedy City Council of Tuesday, October 13th, 2015. And I'd like to start, I'd like to call the meeting to order at this time. And would you please join us in the invocation, the Pledge of Allegiance, the invocation by Pastor Ron Robertson of the Full Gospel Tabernacle Church, and the Pledge of Allegiance by Mayor Pro Tem Bettencourt.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to live in a free country. We thank you, Lord, for those who dedicate themselves to public service. Lord, we ask your blessing upon our city and upon the public servants who serve this town so well. Lord, we ask that you give them wisdom, understanding. And Lord, I thank you for people who know that we need more than ourselves to do the work that we need to do. I ask your blessing upon this meeting tonight. And your blessing upon our city. We thank you for all the blessings we have in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Could you just join the, please, the City Council and the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have roll call, please.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Here.
Councilmember Beck?
Here.
Councilmember Fast?
Here.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Here.
Mayor Salino?
Here. Agenda approval, are there any additions or deletions?
Yes, Mayor. Unfortunately, the League of California Cities is unable to present their award to us this evening. However, they will be coming on October 27th with our joint meeting with KCUSD and will present the award to us at that time. So we're going to cancel item number 3 on presentations today.
That's great. Tonight we have some presentations, and the first presentation is a...
There's no other changes.
Could we
approve
have
the agenda?
Approval.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
They moved in second. Can we have roll call?
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Bettencourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Okay. First presentation is recognition Coach of the Year, and the gentleman is Encarnacion Contra Jr., and the presentation will be by Ruben Castaneda.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I am Ruben Castaneda Jr., Recreation Assistant. I am honored to present to you our 2015 Coach of the Year. Coaches are selected based upon these criteria: positive image in coaching and the role of coach, developing the player and life skills such as confidence, self-discipline, and respect, stress the fundamentals of the game and the importance of sportsmanship, and they go above and beyond expectations of the City of Reedy's Recreation League. This coach has coached for us for 3 years for our Junior Giants program. This coach has coached two teams this year, which helped us out a lot. He coached for our 7- and 8-year-old and 9- through 12-year-old Junior Giants division, which in that division, it's kind of hard for us to get coaches and get them to commit. So he helped us out a lot without having any children in the program at all. So now he's mentoring his own children to become coaches in the future. Mm-hmm. In the 2 years I've been involved with the Junior Giants program, Mr. Encarnacion is always on top and exceeds our expectations. He is able to help his team for 2 years straight reach the required, that was suggested, 12 hours of reading for the Junior Giants program, thus earning them backpacks for the kids. Any conflicts in the parks or any conflicts in his practices, he's sure that to contact me and we get that solved. With him being able to juggle two teams, he was still able to structure and form a organized practice for the kids, and thus being them well developed. Off the field, along with his coach, along with his children, Ulysses and Brandy. They will stay after our games to help us clean up. Sometimes their games will finish early, 7:30, but they will stay closer, 9:30, help us clean up and make sure our parks were clean. For being an outstanding coach, mentor, and helper this year, I am proud to present Mr. Encarnacion Cantu Jr. as our 2015 Coach of the Year.
I'm humbled by the award. Thank you very much. I'll accept it on behalf of all the kids that participate in the program, and thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, volunteerism is very important in this community to bring up these kids in the right direction. So we thank you very much. Oh, sure.
Whee. The next presentation is a Red Ribbon Week proclamation and it's community service. Ms. Reed.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the council. Sarah Reed, Community Services Superintendent. It is my pleasure tonight to represent our Red Ribbon Committee. It's not just our department that comes together to offer Red Ribbon activities here in Reedley. It's truly a collaboration of a lot of organizations to try to really preach the message of being drug-free, alcohol-free. So I would like to point out that we do have representation from Boys and Girls Club. They're on our committee. We also have Eminence here. Who also serves on the committee with us. We also work with the Police Department, Kings Canyon Unified School District, Reedley College, California Health Collaborative. All of us meet on a regular basis and come up with planning these activities for our community. At this time, I would like to invite forward these three young men who are going to read the proclamation for us, and I would like to first have them introduce themselves. So if you guys can come forward.
My name is Jose Cisneros, and I go to Reedley High School. I'm a sophomore there, and I'm going to start with the presentation. Whereas alcohol and other drugs abuse has reached pandemic stages in California and throughout the United States. Whereas it is imperative that the community members launch unified and visible tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention education programs and activities to eliminate the demands of these substances and
whereas Californians for Drug-Free Youth Incorporation coordinates the California Red Ribbon Celebrations in cooperation with the National Federation of Parents to offer our citizens the opportunity to demonstrate their commitments to a healthy drug-free lifestyle. Whereas the Red Ribbon Celebration will be observed across America during Red Ribbon Week, October 23rd to the 31st, 2015.
Whereas parents, youth, government, business, law enforcement, schools, religious institutions, service organizations, social services, health services, media, and the general public will demonstrate their commitment to drug-free communities by wearing and displaying red ribbons during this week-long celebration. Whereas we recognize and commend the contributions made by the Kings Canyon Unified School District, Reilly Police Department, Reilly College, California Health Collaborative, Reilly Boys and Girls Club, and the City of Reilly Community Service Departments. Whereas the community of Reilly further commits its resources to ensure the success of the Red Ribbon Celebration.
Therefore, I, Ray Salino, Mayor of the City of Reilly, do hereby proclaim in the City of Reilly and encourage all citizens to participate in tobacco, alcohol, and other drug prevention programs and activities, making a visible statement and commitment to healthy drug-free communities in which to raise a generation of drug-free youth, and be it further proclaimed that the City Council of the City of Reilly encourages all community members to pledge no use of illegal drugs and no illegal drugs, use of illegal drugs at all. Date October 13, 2015. Thank you.
If you two want to introduce yourselves.
My name is Christian Garcia. I go to Reilly High School. I'm a sophomore there, and I'm hoping to be an engineer once I graduate.
Good for you.
My name is Jesus Bustamante, and I go to Grant Middle School, and I am a seventh grader.
At this time, they are going to help me hand out the bags to the council.
You boys did a good job. It's hard to get up there and stand and talk about it.
Thank you. Over.
Good job.
The council members, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, young lady. All right.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Why don't you share that with
me? Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, once we're done. Oh, I already got one. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, thank you.
Thank you, we hope. Good job.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good job.
Hello, Mayor and City Council people. I would just like to introduce myself. My name is Yoshi Zuniga, and I'm one of the counselors at Reilly High School with the Eminence Program. We do substance abuse treatment, and I was mentioning I'm very involved with this Red Ribbon Committee, and we're also doing a wonderful event for the last week of October also with Reilly High, and all the students are going to participate and get involved, and I encourage you to join us during lunchtime during the whole week, and so you could see the events that we're having and just to provide awareness. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, going into the public hearing, public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the council on items of interest to the public within the council jurisdiction, which are not already on agenda this evening. It's a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. Not more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Is there any public comment at this time? See none. Go to the notice of the public. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under the consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove an item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinance, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Would any council member wish to remove an item?
I'd like to request to remove item number 7 on consent.
Okay. Any other items?
I'll make a motion to approve the rest of the consent.
Been moved?
I'll second.
Been moved and second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Okay. Going back to item number 7, approved resolution number 2015-098. Executing a professional service agreement with HDR Incorporated for the design of the storm water drain basin located northeast corner of Reed and Floral Avenues, and authorize the city manager to negotiate and approve any required amendments. Community Development Engineering, Mr. Robertson.
Yes, sir. And John Robertson from Engineering Division, be happy to answer any questions regarding this matter.
A couple of questions on the fiscal impact. It reads that this amount has been allocated for the 15-16 budget.
Yes.
And the question that I have is like the allocated amount, and is there, and if we run into a snag or anything, and if it's going to increase in any respect, is there a contingency for that?
The contingency would be we'd be able to use other storm drain impact fees to bring in should we need to. We'd have to do an amendment to bring in some additional money, but there are storm drain impact fees we could use to account for anything that might go over and above that.
Okay, and then the second question is as far as when is so that analysis, engineering analysis and design is accomplished. What, if you can share with us, if you, in a ballpark figure, what are other costs that we're looking at in the future?
Well, in the future would be construction costs. So what we're going to be able to do now is really nail down and identify the total cost for construction. Remember, too, this is going to be a combined project with AID. So correct. They're going to have some other facilities they're going to put in. So our contractor, our consultant's going to do the design that can then accommodate AID's work. And I don't know the extent of all that they're going to do yet, but we will work in concert with them to have a design that we'll be able to incorporate with ours. And we're going to identify the total cost of construction during this, and we'll have a good idea about how to get it constructed and then start looking for opportunities to get funding to complete the construction or use some development impact fees to do that also. But with all another one measure that we're doing is we're going to have the design completed with this project, and what that's going to allow us to do is sell some of the dirt that people might need for fill matter or whatever, not sell, but to give in return for them to come out and dig that out, so that it doesn't require us to go in and have to dig it out, which would be a greater expense, and they can take the soil to use it however they need it. And so that's part of getting this done now. It allows us to help reduce the construction cost by having a design completed where they can come in and remove dirt so that we have a hole that's starting to get dug and we don't have to remove as much soil during construction.
And let me be clear, he's speaking about contractors, so it would not be open to the public to come dig a hole.
Correct.
Or get dirt. So, and really one of the reasons why we need to do these 30% plans is because we need to apply for grants for this project, and we need to know what kind of grants and the amount we need to apply for. So at the time that we're done with the plans, they won't be completed, and we're aware of that. Hopefully what we can do is get grants that will allow us to complete the plans as well as construct the facility.
So as we're pursuing those grants and we get a fixed cost, and there's not enough, then it's gonna, to help defray the shortfall on that, is gonna be what? The city and CID?
AID.
AID, excuse me.
We will have to work that with them, out with them, to come up with any shortfalls that we might have. But the intent of having a true cost, and which we'll get out of this project, we'll have a good idea of what we need and know what we need to ask for. We'll have a better opportunity, I believe, to get grants if we truly come in with a design that's done and plans that are ready to go.
And Prop 1A funds are 1A funds, 1B funds? Now I'm forgetting which one. Prop 1 funds of some kind.
1B.
Are going to become available very soon. And so we're hoping to get this done very soon in order to apply for those water funds. We think this will be a very, very competitive project.
It will definitely put us in a better position to qualify well for those applications and those grants.
Mayor, I have a question. Yes. When you're finished.
I'm good. Okay. Thank you.
As I understand this, that the storm drain that now dumps into the river is going to be sidetracked and put into this?
It's going to be,
is that,
yes,
correct?
Correct. It will be diverted into the storm drain basin as opposed to dumping into the river, which provides some opportunity for us to get recharge into our groundwater here.
Okay. Good.
Any other questions of staff? Seeing none. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we'll turn it back to the council for the wishes.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
Then moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Mayor Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Bet?
Yes.
Going into the next item, public hearing ordinance. With respect to the approval of ordinance, the reading of the title thereto shall be deemed a motion to waive the reading of the complete ordinance. And unless there is a request by a council member that the ordinance be read in full, further reading of the ordinance shall be deemed waived and unanimous consent of the council. Item 8, introduction of ordinance number 2015-009 and ordinance. Ordinance amending title, Article B of Chapter 9 of Title 1 of the Reedy Municipal Code to provide revised bidding procedures for the purchase of supplies and equipment and vehicles. Administrative Service, Mr. Malikian.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. It's my pleasure to be here this evening to present this item to you. It's the introduction of an amendment to our ordinance that specifically governs the procedures that the city uses to procure supplies, equipment, and vehicles. Just some background here into this particular area of our city code. This particular amendment that's before you amends Article B of Chapter 9 of the Reedy Municipal Code to provide revised bidding procedures, as I just stated, for the purchase of supplies, equipment, and vehicles. It's interesting to note that the last revision to the purchasing procedures occurred 25 years ago in 1990. With the notable exception of establishing a local vendor preference ordinance back in 2008. It kind of goes without saying that prices for routine and budgeted purchases have risen significantly over the last 25 years. And also several areas of our ordinance do not reflect modern business practices, and I'll get into that a little bit later. Wanted to talk for a moment about what this ordinance isn't, what it doesn't deal with. This ordinance does not deal with the bidding or award of construction or renovation projects. It does not deal with projects covered under the recently adopted CUPCCAA, which is the California Uniform Public Construction Cost Accounting Act. It's a mouthful. That deals with smaller public construction projects. And it also does not deal with the selection or award of consulting or service agreements. It's specifically for supplies, equipment, and vehicles, tangible type of items. Just a quick slide about purchasing authority. The City Council adopts the annual budget every year that's containing line item appropriations, including specific expenditure accounts for supply and equipment purchases. So if you were to go back into the copies of your budget, you'll see in many cases, or most cases, specific purchases of equipment that's called out for in the budget. Smaller type items like toiletries and office supplies will be lumped into generic type of accounts. But those are all adopted by the council every year. The budget's legally adopted by the individual fund, of which we have approximately 48 funds right now, and staff may not exceed overall appropriations that are established without coming back to you to request additional appropriations. So the appropriations that are adopted by this council in the budget are actually amended from time to time, especially if unbudgeted items come up or costs are in excess of where we thought they were going to be in the budget. That is legally sufficient for staff to move forward to make purchases to support the programs and policies set forth in the budget. So legally, that's all that is sufficient authority for staff to move forward. However, most cities in California have a purchasing ordinance or a purchasing policy that governs how certain types of purchases are made. And the City Council may delegate any measure of purchasing authority it wishes. It can delegate very little, or it can delegate a lot. And we can get into that on the next couple slides. The current procedures as they are, that were established way back in May 1990, established certain purchasing thresholds. And it should be a copy of the slides before you if you don't want to crane your neck over. It should be right in front of you as well. There's essentially three thresholds that are established in the ordinance. Anything less than $3,500 is considered the procedure calls for bidding to be dispensed, meaning we don't have to do bidding for those types of purchases. As a matter of practice, we try to solicit multiple quotations for anything that we're buying, especially if it's a frequent item. You know, obviously those savings can add up. Anything from the $3,500 to $12,500 range is considered a open market purchase, and it's more of an informal bidding procedure where we're still going out and soliciting bids, but it's less of a formal process. There's no posting of bids. There's no actual award type of activity going on. So this is considered a open market procedure. Anything greater than $12,500 is considered the formal contract procedure, or in essence, a formal bid procedure. A formal bid procedure is more time consuming. It's more costly in terms of staff time, in terms of publishing certain notices in the newspaper or trade journals. Most cities have a formal bid procedure in place for larger purchases. It ensures that certain procedures are followed, and in essence guarantees that a low bidder is obtained for the particular supplier purchase being sought. A note about the business practices. In our current ordinance, the purchases of supplies and equipment are by purchase order only. That's the only method of purchase that is currently allowed or called for in our ordinance. In this 21st century, that's sort of a bygone era, that everything being done by purchase order. In most cases, it's just four different purchasing methods. We still use purchase orders, and that's the preferable way of buying things. But we also use merchant accounts or store accounts, like at the hardware store. We also use credit cards for purchases made online for supplies and equipment that cannot be bought in town. And also we do use petty cash still, and I think that's pretty common for purchases that are generally less than $50, in which a purchase order can't be used. So basically, it's those four different ways. This amendment would actually put in all of the various ways that we're currently purchasing items and would codify them and just basically update it for our current practices. It also does not, our ordinance does not recognize cooperative purchasing. A lot of times larger agencies will have already bid the particular item we're seeking to buy. So most cities in California allow piggybacking on another competitively bid contract. The example was back in 2012 when we purchased five patrol cars. We were able to piggyback on an Alameda County contract that was active. It had just been bid about a year ago, and the pricing was way better than what we would have been able to do as an individual smaller city. So the ordinance would recognize cooperative purchasing as a way to buy those larger items. Some of the revised procedures, well, not some, all of the revised procedures in the ordinance are summarized in the next couple slides. Essentially, it keeps the purchasing thresholds in place, except it would actually update the dollar amounts and some of the procedures to reflect just the high amount of inflation in a lot of our items that we purchase. These thresholds are still keep in place certain authorities and certain procedures to make sure that the city is getting the best deal. But in the level one threshold, the city manager or designee is authorized to make any purchase not exceeding $10,000 in the open market with or without solicitation of multiple quotations. This is similar in the language to the old $3,500 threshold. And as a matter of practice, and I put this in the staff report, staff's already going out and getting quotations, multiple quotations, whenever possible. But this just gives a little bit of flexibility. If staff's already gone and called three or four different vendors and they're already satisfied that they're getting the best price for lower cost items, they can just go and buy that item, especially if they know that all the other vendors are selling it at a higher price. Moving on to level two, purchases between $10,000 up to $50,000 would require at least three written quotations and shall be approved by the city manager or designee. If there are fewer than three available vendors, the city manager or designee may authorize a purchase with fewer than three quotations. So in practice, approval authority would be delegated to the department head. However, authorizing a purchase within this threshold with fewer than three quotations typically would not be delegated. Meaning that if we're buying something a little bit bigger, something that costs, say, $15,000, and the department head is only able to obtain two quotations, the purchase can still move forward, but only if the city manager approves that purchase to move forward. And at that time, there will be a discussion as to why there's only two quotations available. It could be that there's only two vendors for the item being purchased. There are two more purchasing thresholds that are proposed. Purchases in excess of $50,000 up to $75,000 would be authorized by the city manager, but only pursuant to the formal bid procedure. So both of the thresholds on this slide are within our formal bid procedure. The only difference is who is the ultimate approval authority on making that purchase. So anything between the $50,000 and $75,000 would be approved, authorized by the city manager. However, it would have to be formally bid. In the level four, which is the final purchasing threshold, purchases in excess of $75,000 would be authorized by the city council, also pursuant to formal bidding. So we would be taking these items before you as a consent item or a general administration item, depending upon what the purchase is. And there would be a staff report that would request authority from the city council to make that purchase. Now, going back to the budget, that item is, in most cases, already been budgeted. It's already been part of the particular department's presentation to you. Like if they were going to buy, you know, two new trucks, that would come up during the budget the budget hearing process, but that would come back before you if the cost exceeded $75,000. That concludes the purchasing thresholds. And just a couple other thoughts. The revised ordinance does call out specific bidding exceptions, meaning exceptions to the bidding processes. The previous ordinance talked about purchases needing to be made in an emergency situation. However, it doesn't really explain it very well. So we use the opportunity to use what other cities sort of do for emergency purchases and as far as how those are authorized. It does talk about sole sourcing, which the existing ordinance did do a pretty good job about. If the item is only available from one vendor, then the bidding shall be dispensed. So that is still in the ordinance as an exception. However, any kind of sole source situation has to be approved by the city manager. So that way, it sort of protects against any situations that may not be above board. Not that that's ever happened, but it just puts it in place. It also talks about cooperative purchasing, which I just talked about, if it's already been competitively bid by another public agency. And then there's one other area of bidding exceptions, and that's, it's called other considerations, but it's basically for complex projects. So one example would be if the city was going to procure a new telephone system. The design, installation, and the ongoing support of that telephone system could be of higher significance than the individual per phone cost. Sometimes for especially IT type projects or highly complex projects, if you go with the low bid, sometimes it ends up costing you more, well more in the long run, because the company that sold the product to you is not in business anymore. They didn't have a proven track record. And then the installation or the design of the system just doesn't work for the city. Those are very few and far between type of projects, but the code, if adopted as proposed, would allow for the city manager to make that call as far as if it's a complex project that maybe couldn't be bid in a traditional sense. And in talking with our city attorney, this is a completely legal type of exception to put into our code. Just, I think, one or two more slides and then we're all wrapped up here. Some other updates. As I mentioned prior, the current code only allows purchase orders. We would like to update the methods of purchase to include credit card, merchant account, petty cash, in addition to the purchase order method. We're also proposing to slightly revise our local vendor preference language to clarify some ambiguity. I want to stress there'll be no change to our current practices. I don't know if you've read our local vendor preference language. I've read it probably 25 times, and I always get a little bit of ambiguity. This way here, it just takes out some of the language that we didn't think was needed, but our current practice would not change. And that's essentially if a local vendor who's in the city limits bids on the same item that somebody from outside city limits is selling, if everything is equal except for price, the city may afford up to a 5% cost differential. So if the bids come in at $100 and $105, and our local vendor is trying to sell it at $105, we can go ahead and buy it at the local vendor up to 5%. So the practice would not change from what we've done. And we've actually had a couple situations where we've been able to use this local vendor preference and buy it here locally. So it's been a good thing. Okay, that completes my presentation. If there's any questions or comments.
Okay. Any questions, staff?
Yeah. Paul, is this threshold you're proposing within limits of other cities that are currently in operation? Can you kind of give me a base where we're, what we're looking at?
Yes, we looked at, I would say, 10 different cities, all about our size, some a little bit bigger, some a little bit less. And most were within this range that we're proposing. Some of the cities that were lower than what we're currently proposing. Those conversations were, yes, it's low, we know it's low, and we're working on updating that. Some of the cities that had just changed their purchasing ordinance were within this range, I would say within $5,000-$10,000 either way. So I would say it's pretty close. This has four thresholds. Some cities have three, some have five. So we sort of wanted to bridge the, you know, balance between too much control and not enough. Because if it's too much, then potentially every little thing could be coming before the council when it's already been budgeted. Or if you don't have enough, then there's not appropriate checks and balances in place. So we really wanted to balance that out. And city manager and I went back and forth several times where that pendulum should fall. But of course, it's up to the council. And the current staff here has been, I think, good stewards of the public dollar. We will continue to be, but this ordinance is in place to provide checks and balances no matter who's here. So,
any other questions, staff? Let me ask you one question, Paul. When you're talking about that, you can buy local and you can work with that 5%, and you said you've talked to other communities, and there has been no challenges on that at all?
No.
So, and I'm just looking at, like, when you go to bid and you, instead of doing the lowest one, you bid the higher one.
There's an important distinction here. This is only limited to purchase of supplies and equipment. Right. When you're talking about public works projects, you can't use the local bidding preference unless, obviously, they are the lowest bidder. You got to go with the lowest bidder in that context, yeah, whether it's local or non-local. Yeah.
And most cities around us have local vendor preferences, mm-hmm, and so we all have the same. And sometimes it could be the same type of purchase, and occasionally we can't meet it. At Martin's Chevrolet, one time we were able to get the purchase from Martin's because of that local vendor preference, mm-hmm, and another time we had to buy it out of Selma because they were too high on a particular product. So you never know when that could come in handy to be able to keep the purchase here, just that additional amount. So, yeah.
All right. Good. Thank you. Any other questions, staff? See, now this is a public hearing. Any public comment on this item? See none. Turn back to the council for the wishes.
Make a motion to approve.
I'll second it.
Been moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Soleno?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilwoman Fast?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Council.
All right. Going into administrative business, item number 9, adopt resolution number 2015-095, consenting to the inclusion of the City of Reedley properties in the California Home Financing Authority, Community Facilities District number 2014-1, Clean Energy, and resolution number 2015-096, consenting to the inclusion of properties within the city's jurisdiction in the California Home Financing Authority program and approving associate membership in the California Home Finance Authority. Community Development, Mr. Fabino.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council. Caitlin Underwood, Building Division for Community Development. You have tonight in front of you a couple of resolutions. These pertain to another PACE provider. As you may recall, we did allow a couple PACE providers to come in previously. That was with Hero and Figtree. This is the Property Assessed Clean Energy Financing Programs that allow home property owners, both commercial and residential, to finance renewable energy, energy efficiency, and water conservation retrofit projects. It's kind of a little bit of a special financing program where it doesn't encumber their personal credit, and the upgrades are attached to the property. And so we've seen a couple of different companies come to our door. We now are working with Y-Green Energy Fund. They are slightly different, and I just want to point out a little difference between them and Hero and Figtree, which you have seen previously. It's actually kind of an interesting difference. They do have the same exact type of funding through
putting a lien on the property and paying through your taxes that Hero and Fig Tree have. But they also have another option where they have been authorized under Senate Bill 555 to work under the Mellow Ruse tax and create their own community facilities district. Sounds kind of scary when you first hear it. We all kind of sat, how does that work? It really is the same exact thing for the city. There's not going to be any administration on our part. There's not any, you're never going to have to vote on it again. They have their own authority. And so these property owners now will have an additional option to, instead of putting a lien on their property, they actually enter into the Community Facilities District 2014-1 and have an annual assessment put on their property. So same idea, goes with the property, not the owner. Just a couple of different ways you can do it. They also offer competitive interest rates to the property owners. And in talking about it amongst ourselves, we really thought it was a good idea just to keep that open market policy right now. It's always good to give our property owners as many options as possible. And this just kind of goes in line with our goals to be environmentally and fiscally responsible. This is something that's no cost to the citizens for us to allow into our area, but we can also provide them another option to help contribute to the clean energy movement and water conservation that we're really trying for. So if approved, you'll be adopting resolution number 2015-095 and resolution number 2015-096. There's a joint powers agreement for each of those, and it's for the California Home Finance Authority. They're the JPA that has authorized Y-Green to administer the program for them. So we do sign a resolution allowing our city manager to sign that joint powers agreement, which then authorizes Y-Green to come in and offer their program to our property owners. And again, being an associate member of this JPA like the others before will have absolutely no fiscal impact or additional responsibilities. It's minimal for us once they are in here. So with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
Okay. Any questions of staff?
I do have a question.
Sure.
In setting up the community facilities district, mm-hmm. that always makes me nervous.
Yes.
I just wanted to ensure that there's no charge to any other homeowners in the district that do not want to participate?
Correct. It's 100% voluntary. Only the property owners that choose to enter the district will actually see that assessment on their tax bill. So anyone, just because your neighbor gets a solar system, you're not going to see any change in your neighborhood property taxes whatsoever. It's specific to the property owners that choose to enter.
Yeah, this is not, okay. It would not be the same as the city's CFD.
This is
CFD.
Not like a
totally separate CFD, okay. Totally separate properties may be involved in it. It's for separate facilities or improvements, that sort of thing. It's separately run and operated than the city's CFD.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other comments from staff? Seeing none. This is a... Now, do we have a public comment on this one? No public comment. I turn it back to the council for the wishes.
I'd make a motion to approve both resolutions, 2015-095 and 2015-096.
We can take both of them at the same time, right?
Yeah,
you can. Motion?
All right. Yeah, and the motion I think would include. If you just want to make a motion to approve the item, that's fine. It would include everything because I think there's a JPA agreement also in addition to the two resolutions.
It's part of the
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. To include all of okay. the above.
All right. Then moved. Second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Solano?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Congratulations.
All right. Going into item number 10, approve and authorize the city manager to sign a memorandum of understanding between the city of Reedley and 16 other parties for the implementation of Sustainable Groundwater Management Act in the King's Groundwater Basin. My goodness, today. Administration.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. I'm going to stand in front of you today because I have this handy-dandy laser pointer, and I don't want to point any of you in the eyes. So there's a couple of slides where I want to point out some areas to you. So I'll be standing in front of you today to present this item. Hopefully, none of what I'm presenting to you will be new to you. This will be a refresher on where we are with the groundwater legislation that came about this past year, and we'll tell you where we are with the formation of our GSA, which is a groundwater sustainability agency. So we want to give you a little refresher, and then we'll talk about the action that is required from all Kings River East GSA members. So let's start off with why and how this came about. The black line you see on this graph is the Kings groundwater sub-basin. New groundwater legislation that went in, called SGMA, requires that each sub-basin within California be what's called balanced by 2040. By balance, that's still being defined by state DWR, Department of Water Resources, but essentially it won't mean that you have to put back in what you take out. It just means that they're going to set a threshold for how much water these aquifers hold, and we have to make sure we don't go below that level of aquifer. What makes the King sub-basin so interesting is the variety of, first, the vast size of the groundwater aquifer, and then the variety of entities that are within this aquifer. What you're looking at right here is a groundwater contour map. If you look for the darker, cooler colors, that's good. The warmer, darker colors, that's bad. So, starting along here on the foothills, you'll see that the groundwater is actually looking